All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Georgette Miller is an immigrant to this country from Jamaica. She is an she's an attorney, and more importantly, she says, got to be able to live debt-free. Now, I think we ought to just buy this book, send a copy to the mayor, send a copy to Congress, send a copy to a whole bunch of households that are around here. She's on our live line. The book is available at Amazon. It's Living Debt-Free. Georgette, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
So we know government can't do it. We got a school system here that has got to cut $35 million out of the budget because they're in debt. How can my listeners, mom and dad and grandpa and Uncle Bubba and them, how can they live debt-free?
Well, listen, I like to tell my clients and the readers of my book, you know, in olden times, you know, I go back to the book of Deuteronomy 15, verse 4, where the good book said every 7 years, creditors had to release their debtors from their debts, right?
Right.
It was called the Year of Jubilee. General Motors filed for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2008. And by 2012, they were the number one car company in the world. Uncle Bum and them have the same right. And the thing that I find heartbreaking for me is we as individuals, especially people that look like us, we look at bankruptcy as something, this really scary, bad thing. And our friends tell us if you do it, oh, my God, your life is ruined for the next 10, 15 years. You can't do it. However, General Motors have the right to do it. I think American Airlines filed for Chapter 11. They merged with U.S. Air, and they're now the number one air carrier in the world. Uncle Bubba, me, you, everybody have the same right to get out of debt. And if you have that legal right, my question is, why is people that look like us not using it? Why aren't you not using it? And it's a legal right. Look, you took up residence on the debt plantation, and you need to get off. You get off by any legal means necessary. And if the bankruptcy code is there to get you off, use it.
Georgette,
and as a matter of... Go ahead.
Georgette, let me ask you, because some of the myths that are out there about using legal bankruptcy, and you talked about American Airlines, you talked about General Motors, the Tribune Company, they were in bankruptcy, got out of bankruptcy several months ago, now spent $4 billion buying some more television stations. I looked at that, I'm going, you just got out of bankruptcy, my Lord. But people think, oh, you declare bankruptcy, you can't buy anything for 7 years, you can't incur debt for 7 years, there's these restrictions. What's the real world?
All myths. As a matter of fact, getting out of debt using a legal bankruptcy for me is just the first step. Every client and everybody who reads my book, I say, look, you literally qualify for an FHA mortgage 2.5 years after filing. That's a mortgage that's backed by the full faith and credit of your federal government. And those of us are people that generally don't look like us. They can make an argument to HUD, and they can get it a year later. Think of your credit score. Think of the two real main principles of your credit score. It's income, or potential for income, and debt.
Okay.
Before bankruptcy, what happened? You had income or potential for income, but you had all this debt sitting on your credit.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into bankruptcy court, what happens? You still have your income. You still have your potential for income, but what happens to the debt? It's discharged. It's gone. On your credit report, they're going to report zero for all those credit cards that are lines of credit, payday loans, all the madness we get ourselves into. So what happens now to your credit score? If you think about it, that's why your credit score literally goes up, and within 30 days of filing a bankruptcy, making a bankruptcy filing, all of my clients find that they get credit card applications, car loan applications, because what? Banks aren't stupid.
Mm.
They know you just got out of all that debt, and how do they make money? Having you in debt. So they literally, as soon as you walk out of bankruptcy court, boom, you have credit card applications again, which is why getting out of debt is only step one. That's actually the easiest part. Staying out of debt is the part that's difficult.
How much of staying out of debt after you go through a bankruptcy, how much of it is saying no to yourself?
Well, it's not a matter of saying no to yourself. It's a matter of being disciplined. Mm-hmm. The last time I checked, cash still works.
How come you can't
wait for it, save for it, and pay for it in cash, guess what? It ain't for you. I went and got my hair done 2 weeks ago, and I brought two $20 bills. And guess what? My hairdresser took it. Cash still works. And I'm talking about with anything. You know, I have offices in 5 states. And 50% of my clients walk in with a $500 card note.
Mm.
Let's do the numbers. $500 over 5 years is $30,000. And at the end of the 5 years, the car is worth what? $7,000. So what have you done? You've robbed your retirement. You've robbed your child's 529. You've robbed your savings account, $23,000 in principal. If you wanted a $7,000 car, couldn't we have saved and go buy ourselves a $7,000 used hoopty, get a new car air freshener, put it on the dashboard, and when we drive off the lot, it's new to us? Cash still works.
Cash still works. 239-1310. You may have a question for Georgia Miller. 239-1310. 239-1310. Or send me an email at praiseindy.com. The book is real simple. It is Living Debt Free. 239-1310. 239-1310's After News. Name is given that that so much today is plastic. Even if you're buying cash, I read in this morning's New York Times the story about, you know, employers now depositing your paycheck in a plastic card that's killing you on the fees. Oh Lord! And here these are people that are trying to pay for stuff in cash. This is not on credit card, and they're getting nickeled and dimed. They're dimed and nickeled.
Exactly. But you know what? At the end of the day, when I say plastic, you're talking about it. In that case, it's not a credit card.
Right.
It's your money.
Yep.
You're being nickel and dimed on your money. If you feel like you need to walk around with plastic, your ATM debit card has a Visa or a MasterCard logo on it. So when you walk into the store and you need to buy something, you can hand over your Visa ATM debit or hand over your MasterCard ATM debit. But guess what? You're still using your cash. Mm. You're not borrowing from Citibank. You're not borrowing from Bank of America to pay for something that you want right now and then turn around, pledge your future income because you're now going to pay them 19%. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% on the money you borrowed for something you had today. That is absolute insanity. Look, I'm from Jamaica, and from everything that I read, there was a time not too far gone by where people that looked like me couldn't borrow.
Absolutely right.
Right? They could not borrow.
Everything
Nobody would
was
lend
in
them
cash.
Anything based on the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
But from everything I've read, that same community of people that look like me had cars,
yeah,
had homes, had land, had acquired businesses, had all this stuff, and they didn't have to borrow a dime to get it. What did they do? They used the cash they had. It still works.
239-1310. 239-1310. We're with Georgette Miller. Let me go to Billy. Hi, Billy.
Hello, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
I got a problem with the credit bureau. All my debts are paid off, and some of them were charged off, and some of them were 7 years old. I have one debt on my credit report. My daughter filed bankruptcy on it because I was the co-signer. She filed a bankruptcy on it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I filed for some credit, I got a new car. I'm only for a year. I've never been late. But every time I filed for some credit, they say it won't come off of my record until November of 2013.
When did your daughter file bankruptcy on the debt that you co-signed?
Almost a year. It's been a year.
All right, Georgette, what happens?
Okay, I have a news flash for many. This may sound really strange to many of us.
Yeah.
It's in very rare situations where debt goes away. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care if it's 10, 20 years from now. I don't care if it's no longer on your credit report. But there are two things that happen with debt. You either pay it or you file a bankruptcy like your daughter did and you get it discharged. It does not go away. And if you are the co-signer on it, what happens is the lender or the creditor can no longer go after your daughter as long as life lasts. For your daughter. However, you are still exposed. But you're exposed not only for that debt, but for any other debt that you have that said was charged off. Many of us seem to believe that simply because a debt is charged off, we're no longer obligated to pay it. Or it's no longer on our credit report, we're no longer obligated to pay it. Debt does not go away.
Well, wait a minute, Georgette, then let me ask a question. If a parent or someone else files as a co-signer on the debt, but the primary person goes through the legal bankruptcy.
Yes.
That means the co-signer still on the hook. Should the co-signer
joint and severally liable for that debt.
So should he have gone through bankruptcy?
Absolutely. To protect himself as well.
So, Billy?
Yes.
You may want to talk to a bankruptcy attorney here. You know, all that consultation is free to have him tell you what your rights are under the law.
Okay, well, Amos, my wife is going through a bankruptcy right now, and she's bringing in all her debts. We paid the bankruptcy, and the lawyer says anything that she wants to charge off, that she wants to file bankruptcy on, file it. So I'm not on her bankruptcy, but I can ask the attorney, can I get on her bankruptcy?
Absolutely. That's exactly what you want to do.
And file that debt, but I want to keep my car.
You can keep your car. You just continue paying for it. But go in with your wife and like your wife, you will both come out clean.
Okay. All right, Billy, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there. Hi.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I've checked into bankruptcy a couple of times. It is so expensive. I mean, you want to file, but it's very expensive. I mean, how you do that before you stop paying your bills to file bankruptcy?
Well, if you're going to file a bankruptcy and you've had a consultation with an attorney and they say you qualify, which 9 out of 10 times you are, then yes, you stop paying the credit card bills because then you're just throwing away good money against a bad debt. You're going to file bankruptcy and get rid of it anyway, so why are you continuing to pay it?
I mean, so stop paying everybody, not credit cards.
Stop paying the credit cards. Stop paying your credit cards. All the debt you're about to discharge, stop paying them. Just get your money together, and hopefully in my offices, we work with our clients and we put them on payment plans, and you pay until you're finished. But you don't continue paying the credit cards you're about to get rid of. That's throwing good money at a bad debt.
Hospital bills, ACE credit cards.
Oh, good gracious, no, you don't pay those.
Pay nobody.
Pay your rent, you pay your utilities, you buy food. If you have a car note and you intend to keep the car, you continue paying the car, but you ain't paying nobody else because you're about to get rid of them.
Okay.
Do you still have to pay the taxes, Georgette?
And well, I'm hoping the taxes come out of your check.
Okay.
And something that will blow you guys away, if you owe the IRS, and this is in the bankruptcy code, if you owe the IRS and that debt to the IRS has been outstanding for more than 3.5 years, you are entitled to file a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13 bankruptcy and get that debt discharged.
Wait a minute, you can get, you know, you can get out of uncle.
Absolutely.
You can get out of uncle. Lord.
And this is why I call student loans the original gangsters.
Mm.
Because I can file a bankruptcy and get rid of debt that I owe the U.S. Treasury. But I cannot file a bankruptcy and get rid of a student loan unless the debtor is legally disabled from the neck down.
So student loans is one of the few debts you cannot discharge through bankruptcy?
Exactly. Student loans and domestic support obligations and an obligation incurred pursuant to a divorce decree.
All right. I appreciate that, Anonymous. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. We're talking with Georgette Miller. She is the author of the book Living Debt Free. And Georgette, I was looking down through your bio, and I think you once worked for a law firm that one of my former owners, one of the greats in this business, Reagan Henry, worked for.
Really? Which one? Creamberg Trowick?
No, I think Wolf Block.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I worked out of that's my first law firm, Wolf Block, Shore and Solace Cohen, out of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know. Reagan Henry Reagan Henry was a partner there for a number of years, one of the great pioneering African-American broadcast owners.
Oh, really? Okay.
See the things.
Did not know that. I learned something new every day.
See, you learn something new. Let me go back to the phones. And let me see. Eeny, meeny, miny. Let me go to another anonymous. Hi there.
Yes.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
3 years ago, I bought a car back in 2009, and I got laid off my job, and I was like 2 months behind on my car payments. So the car people and the finance company kept calling and calling, and they told me, well, we're going to come get the car. We'll come get the car. So in the past 2 months ago, I got a letter from the finance company, which they have out of California. They have sold their company to a finance company in Atlanta. And I got a letter from them that I owe all this, the amount of the car.
Did they take the car? Yeah, I can hardly hear you.
Did they take the car?
Yes, they took the car. I told them they came and got the car.
Okay.
So you owe the deficiency.
Right. And I got a letter. They're suing me, but I got a letter from the finance company that I really got the car through. They sold
the debt to somebody else, and now they're looking for their money.
And now they're suing you for that money.
Right. And what I'm asking is, once I got the letter, I was served with papers from the court. So my wife wrote a letter to the judge, to the court, and then a couple of weeks ago, I got a letter back from them, and the judge denied that. So what would be my next step?
You want to file a Chapter 7 as soon as humanly possible. And you want to do that before they enter the judgment. Even if you don't get it done before they enter the judgment against you,
uh-huh.
I mean, that's not fatal. Because what filing a bankruptcy does is it stops everything. But you want them to do – you want to file before they get the judgment, because the minute they get the judgment, they're good at this. This is their job. They're going to come and start levying your bank accounts, and if you're working, they're going to try and garnish your wages. So you want to beat them to that.
Well, let me ask you –
and file a Chapter 7 as soon as possible. Well,
and hold on, Anonymous. Have you gotten a summons to appear in court?
Yes, I did. When I got that, I went down and I filed papers, and they said respond in 21 days. So I responded in 21 days. I wrote a letter to the judge explaining what happened to the judge. And then I got a letter a couple of days ago, and where they had filed the papers with the court, and the judge sent me the papers back, and he had denied.
Wait, was there a hearing?
No, it wasn't a hearing at all. It wasn't a hearing, just the letter. When they went back to the finance company, they responded. They sent a letter back to court. And the judge read the letter, my letter, and looked at the paper, and he sent me a letter back, and it had denied.
Well, what was denied? Your request for – has there ever been a hearing? Did they find a judgment against you?
No, it hasn't been a hearing yet, but he denied their response.
Okay, well, now you need to find out when the hearing is.
Right.
Because they cannot enter a judgment in Indiana law. They cannot enter a judgment against you or garnish your wages without a court hearing where you tell your side, they tell their side.
Right.
Go ahead, Georgette.
However, what you need to understand is you're still liable for that debt.
Right.
You took out a contract. You said, I'm going to pay you $10,000. And even if you're personally liable for that $10,000 no matter what. So if they've recovered the car, it's based on your contract. If they've recovered the car and they only get $5,000, you're still liable for what they call a deficiency. And it's right. The same thing with a lot of your listeners who are doing short sales on homes.
Right.
There is something called a deficiency judgment that you guys leave yourself exposed to all the time. We go through this in the book. You owe Bank of America $200,000. You short sell the home for $150,000. If they don't if they forgive the $50,000, meaning Bank of America said, okay, I'm going to forgive it, you don't have to pay me. At the end of the year, Bank of America reports that $50,000 that's forgiven to the IRS as income. So you just made $50,000 on which IRS wants you to pay tax. If they don't forgive it, you're still liable. And a debt collector can come after you for that $50,000. People, we got to get educated. A bankruptcy can shield you from all that liability.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
I got another question.
Real quick.
Should I respond to them? Because I haven't heard anything since I got my letter about 4 or 5 days ago. How would I respond to them?
You need to find out from that court whether a hearing has been scheduled, and I'm really a little bit nervous. I strongly encourage you to talk to an attorney who can advise you of your rights.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I can tell you want to shield yourself from that debt as soon as possible.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, good luck to you. 239-1310, we go back to the phones. Oh, we're talking with Georgette Miller. I know the book is available at Amazon. Any place else?
Amazon.com and
GeorgetteMiller.com. All right. That's right. Yeah, cut Mr. Amazon out of there. Nothing personal. GeorgetteMiller.com. That's George and an E and TTE on the end, Miller.com. Back to the phones at 239-1310 and Deborah. Hi there.
Hi. I don't have a question. I'm supposed to go to court, I think, the end of July. You don't have to go to court if you owe a company. And if I'm interested in filing bankruptcy, because you have to go to court and set up payment arrangements, because if you don't keep the arrangements,
they garnish you.
So how should I, I know I have to go to court, but.
Well, if you have a really good bankruptcy attorney, they will file what's called an emergency petition. And the emergency petition will give you a case number. And the minute you have a case number, you can just go show up to court and say, I filed bankruptcy, here's my case number. And they can say, and then legally you have to pay nobody anything. And they actually cannot contact you because now you're protected.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Georgette had a question, an email. Is Chapter 7 available to anybody or does it depend on wages and the amount of the debt?
Well, it's a difficult question. A Chapter 7, there is something called a means test.
Okay.
That's a test it's based on how much you earn, where you live, and what we call exemptions or credits.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have a couple that makes, each spouse makes $50,000 a year, so they both make over $100,000. However, they have a mortgage of $2,400. They have two car notes of $500 each. They have two or three kids. By the time the courts looks at their set of circumstances, they say, yes, on the top they make $100,000, but when we look at all these expenses, they're really broke.
We're talking with George. All right.
It's really based on your circumstance.
We're talking with Georgette Miller. She is the author of the book, Living Debt Free. We'll take a break. That'll allow her to catch her breath. And we'll come back with our remaining moments with her. Also get your reactions to the new superintendent of the Indianapolis Public Schools. If you haven't heard, it's the guy from Durham, North Carolina, Dr. Louis Farabee. At 39, he'll be the youngest superintendent ever in the history of IPS. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. And we're back with Georgette Miller, author of the book Living Debt Free. Back to the phones. And Monica, hi there.
Hi, Amos. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Amos, I had a question for your guest. Can you file bankruptcy more than once? And if so, what is the time frame between the last?
Sure. You have the legal right to file once every 8 years.
Okay, thank you.
All right, once every 8 years. Back to the phones.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're on a roll. Let me go back to the phones and Roland. Hi there.
Yes.
Hi.
To you and your guest. I have a question for her. I have a person that hasn't filed in about 2 years. They're pretty young, like the age of 22, 24. The ages between that. So will they penalize them for... And they have lost their tax papers and just don't think it's significant enough to file taxes. So.
What I would tell you to do is most IRS offices, they will actually file your tax returns for you for free. There's some of us who don't need to pay H&R Block or any other tax preparer all these sums of money, I would tell that individual in that situation, just walk into the IRS and say, I haven't prepared my taxes in the last 2 years. They have the W-2s and all what that was reported for from their employer, even though it's not significant. I would just walk into the IRS office and have them prepare a tax return for me for free. And you never know, they may actually have a refund sitting there. And if they wait more than 3 years, then they may lose the refund.
Yeah, that's
would they
penalize them at all?
Okay.
There might be a late payment penalty, but depending on how much tax you owe, it may not be all that much.
Exactly. Just go in and just, you never not file the IRS. File with the IRS.
Yeah.
Always file your tax return. Within the sound of my voice, file your tax return.
Don't be like Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, like Wesley Snipes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
You know, if Uncle went after Wesley Snipes, he'll come after anybody. Back to the phones in Marquetta. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi, Mrs. Miller. And I'm a first-time
caller. Hi, how are you?
Oh, first-time caller? Hold on.
Let
me give you a salute. There you go.
Thank you. This accident happened in 03. The car was my son's, but it was in my name. They took me to court June the 6th of 2012, and they let it go. But they came back and started garnishing my son.
Exactly.
But it wasn't no court order. I mean, no judge. I've never seen a judge or nothing. The insurance guy, lawyer, told me that they decided to just let it go.
Well, hold on.
What happened, they let it go, but it sat on someone's computer screen for a year or 2 years or whatever. That doesn't go away. Wait, let me finish.
Okay.
Unless that IR insurance company sent you a 1099-C at the end of the year letting you know and the IRS know that you've been forgiven of that debt and so you pay taxes on the portion that's forgiven, assume that it is not. What happens is it sat on someone's computer screen for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then they were like, oh, let me make some money. I'm going to sell that debt to a debt collector. And that's exactly what they did. Until your son files a bankruptcy, a Chapter 7 or a 13, hopefully a 7, they will continue to garnish his wages.
And the other thing,
if he files a bankruptcy and they take the money out of his check after he files, they have to take that money. All money taken after his filing has to be returned to him post haste.
And Marquetta, he needs to check with his employer as to what court ordered that garnishment and find out when the hearing was, whether he was served with the notice of the hearing, just to make sure that that finance company did all they were supposed to do, because sometimes they play fast and loose in our small claims courts here. Okay?
But that's what I'm saying. They took me to court. They didn't want my son because at the time he was a minor.
So you went to the small claims court?
Yeah, Perry Township.
Then what was the paperwork? Was the paperwork to garnish you and him?
Yeah, but the lawyer that the insurance company's lawyer said they didn't want him there. They wanted me.
No, but if the court order has a garnishment for either you or him, they went after him. The key is, what did that court order say?
Okay.
If your son's name is anywhere in that court order saying somebody gonna pay, then and you don't have wages to garnish, then they garnishing him.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if he doesn't pay at all, they can come and you start working. They can come after you as well. Think of it as a liability. You owe this money. And you have to protect your – wait. You have to – legally, you may not feel like you owe it. It may feel wrong to owe it, but based on the paperwork you signed when you got that car, you owe it. Now you got to go into the mindset, how do I protect myself from the liability for that debt?
Okay.
Okay,
thank you, guys.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Al real quick at 239-1310. Al, got about a minute.
Yes, I want to know, if you filed Chapter 13 and you think you brought your payment – and they dismiss the case, can you file another Chapter 13?
Yes, you can. But
you have to wait.
As long as it wasn't dismissed with prejudice, you absolutely can refile again.
Okay, even though, okay, you couldn't keep up with the payments, you got behind on your payments. You went
right, well, then you're filing a new, well, the question is, what were the payments about? If you can't afford, was it you're trying to catch up on your mortgage?
No, it was two cars.
If you can't, well, you may have to file a 7 and let you file another 13 with just one car and let one of the car goes, or let one of the car go, or file a, and buy yourself a new hoopty cash, or file a Chapter 7 and let them both go and go buy yourself two hoopty cash.
Okay, well, wouldn't it be a good idea to keep both cars?
Well, if you keep both cars, you're going to pay, but know that in bankruptcy, if you've been paying on the car for more than 2.5 years prior to the filing, you have the right to pay the crammed down value. Meaning, okay, if you owe $10,000 on the car, but the car is now only worth $6,000, you'll only pay back $6,000. So go back to an attorney, see what you can afford. Because bankruptcy is not so that you can keep your stuff for free if you're trying to keep it. You're going to have to pay. So look at the numbers and see what can you afford to pay. And that will, you will decide what you can keep and what you can't.
Okay.
Now, do you have a number out of this for if we want to get a hold of you?
You can always send me questions on Facebook or on Twitter. And you can go to georgettemiller.com and see all my contact information. I don't have an office in your area, at least not yet. So I wouldn't be able to give you any legal advice, any specific legal advice, or even take you on as a client.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with the Indiana Supreme Court.
Exactly.
All right, okay. Appreciate it. Our last caller with Georgette Miller. Her website is georgettemiller.com. That's where you can order the book. Is David. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
I just had a question. Thank you for the information on about the IRS debt. My mother has an IRS debt, and just finding out we can't charge it off because it is almost 7 to 8 years old. She's worried about all her other creditors because there's some that she doesn't want to file bankruptcy on, and she was thinking that if you file bankruptcy, you have to include all of your creditors.
She is correct. In bankruptcy, they don't listen to the position you're putting the bankruptcy court in. You're saying, Your Honor, I'm having a hard time. I can't pay, but I'm not going to pay these people, but I'm going to pay these. You have to treat all your creditors the same. You're either not paying nobody, or you're paying everybody. Those are your options. You can't treat you can't give preferential treatment to one creditor.
You can't pick and choose.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, good luck with you. The book is Living Debt Free. You can get it from her website, georgettemiller.com, georgettemiller.com, or help Indiana employees out because Amazon's got a factory here at Amazon. Hey, can we get the sales tax? At amazon.com. Georgette Miller, it's an honor and privilege to have you on the program. We got to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you. We'll take a break.